We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Feels like game day, doesn't it? So many business and sports and politics analogies that I have today. I just win or lose. Keep getting better each and every day. You got to continue to position and promote and protect the causes you care about. There's always another game to play. Always another opportunity, but you got to be in the game to play it. So make a plan to vote if you haven't. Schedule it. Remind your friends and family to vote. Do you remember the first time you voted? WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. As we have all morning, appreciate your insights and what's happening at your polling places. But also tell me, you remember that first time you cast a vote in the presidential election? I remember I was at Marquette. I still lived in Wauwatosa in the summers, so I was registered there. So I voted at McKinley Elementary School in my first presidential election. It was George H.W. Bush versus Michael Dukakis. I'll put this out there. Do you remember who Michael Dukakis' running mate was? No? Nothing? Lloyd Benson from Texas. Dan Quayle, of course, was Bush Sr.'s running mate at the time. By the way, Quayle played a pretty central role in advising his fellow Hoosier and Vice President Mike Pence to certify the 2020 United States presidential election per the Senate rules in 2020. But let's keep the talk and text line flowing all show long, 855-616-1620. To start off the show right after the first break, we are going to talk civics and politics and schools, how students and families are talking about this election. Really interesting guest. Jesse Perez is a social studies teacher at the Village of Shorewood and James Madison Fellow, has some really interesting insights as to how he teaches the next generation about civics and politics. But even though it's election day, we got to start the way we do each and every morning. So let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the 2 Up on the Upswing.
Always like to keep you updated about new retail openings around the area. The Milwaukee Business Journal yesterday, new to you in Mequon, outdoor merchandiser Sierra now has an opening date for its new store in the former Bed Bath & Beyond location in Mequon. Sierra is scheduled to open November 16th on Port Washington Road, part of the Mequon Pavilions. The company has just announced Sierra leased almost 20,000 square feet at the shopping center. Maria Pace, a spokesperson with the property group, confirmed that yesterday to the Milwaukee Business Journal. Sierra, it's kind of that off-price retailer. They sell brand names, part of the TJ Maxx group. According to the website, the store's hours are going to be 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Sunday. It would be the ninth location in Wisconsin. Other locations in Brookfield, Delafield, West Bend. And the chain opened earlier this year, its 100th store overall in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Sierra opening November 16th in Mequon. Number two, YouTube TV is eating TV's lunch. Like, I'm sure you're kind of annoyed at all the ads you're seeing on YouTube and all over, all the video ads. They're going to come to a little pause at the end of today for sure. But listen to these numbers. YouTube's advertising revenue has yet to reach a ceiling in its growth. Alphabet announced this yesterday in its earnings call. The company claimed $8.9 billion in quarterly revenue from YouTube ads alone. At this rate, YouTube ads revenue could match that of the entire broadcasting advertising industry for 2024. Meanwhile, the traditional TV market continues to decline thanks to cord cutting and more, which bodes well for the continued growth of YouTube for sure. But the company reported 25.7 billion dollars for the year so far, puts YouTube at over 3 billion ahead of where it was this time last year. For reference, it added $2 billion to its revenue in total between 2022 and 2023. In other words, traditional TV ads are seeing a slip. YouTube continues to get stronger and stronger. All right, when we come back, civics, politics in schools. This is The Upswing. It's Election Day, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Election Day 2024 from the WTMJ Talk and Text Line from the 414. Well, I just voted in Slinger, walked right up to state my name. Normally, I leave the poll with a sense of civic pride and doing my duty this year. Ooh, texter says, walked out feeling a little sick to my stomach. That's too bad. You still got to be happy with the civic pride of exercising your civic duty. From the 262, I voted for Jimmy Carter when I was 18 years old, when I got back from Europe from a foreign study league. All right, indeed. I love seeing all the texts coming in. First time you voted for president, where was it? What was your experience today at the polls? The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. A couple of side notes here. I know New York Times is usually always is a great source for election data and information, but it's also a place to play your favorite games. And today, the New York Times tech workers are still on strike, went on strike yesterday, and are taken to the picket line kind of outside of the media company's offices. And they're asking readers not to cross their, quote, digital picket line by skipping your regular game of Wordle and other New York Times games today and not using the Times cooking app. The tech workers are also involved each and every day in live blogs and push alerts and other crucial things for the election. So the famous New York Times election needle obviously is really important on an election night. I know they got an entire backup team there. It's an important source for information. But the New York Times Tech Guild represents more than 600 workers, including software engineers, data analysts, designers, and others behind games like the Daily Crossword, all the audio podcasts there, and the Times apps. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that strike and see how it impacts the flow of information, the New York Times, and kind of across even the web, because it's a big central hub for election night information for sure. All right, we're going to go to civics and politics in schools. Do you remember your political and politics education in school? And obviously, the conversations around civics and voting and the importance of building community are truly important. You know, it's something that teachers and parents need to continue to get better at each and every day. I know I strive to in our household. But on this election day, we're really happy to have a Shorewood teacher to talk about his experience teaching day to day. He's a Frederick Douglass James Madison Fellow. Jesse Perez will join us. The Shorewood School Board just last week passed a resolution in support of a comprehensive current civics education. The school board said it will, quote, recognize the civics education as essential and fostering informed, engaged citizens capable of contributing to our democratic society. When we come back from the break, Jesse Perez from the Village of Shorewood will join us. He has some really interesting insights as to the hows and whys of teaching politics to today's kids. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. On this election day, we're happy to have Jesse Perez, social studies teacher, and Frederick Douglass, James Madison Fellow, join us in studio. Jesse, I know you kind of have the day off today, so I appreciate that you're taking time to spend it with us.
Yeah, thank you. So at Shorewood High School, yeah, we have the students have the day off. Teachers are kind of in. We have a little bit of meetings in the morning and then afternoons. It's just some classroom work time.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. So I got to ask you first up, like, just how hard is it to kind of keep your students' parents' political views out of the classroom?
Yeah, so at this point, I feel like it's nearly impossible. And so one of the things that we try to do is, like, instead of trying to keep their views out, we try to teach students how to sort of navigate their parents' biases. And just we talk a lot about bias in general and how we all bring something to the table. And so one of the big things that we do is we focus on students being able to identify bias. Where do their ideas come from? They think a lot about, you know, how do they grow their ideas?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do they challenge one another's ideas?
Yeah.
How do they get themselves out of their comfort zone is kind of a big part of civics. So,
yeah. And then, you know, obviously you're always balancing in the classroom kind of the real politics and real issues of the day, but also teaching the basics. How does that happen in your day-to-day life as a civics teacher?
Yeah. So in civics, we focus a lot about, you know, we talk about the history. We talk about the history of our government, sort of the foundation, the founding principles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we focus on the actual structure. And so a big part of civics is each student is essentially sworn into the class
nice.
As a legislative, you know, as a member of the legislature. And so each student sort of has a responsibility. They have to respond to their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
They explore their own ideas. They figure out where do they align maybe politically. And what are they interested in?
Mm-hmm.
And so then from there, we go into a lot of debates and things. And so kids get a really good opportunity to just exploring a ton of ideas.
Yeah.
And so we try not to, like, shy away from those things, but we try to embrace those.
That's great. So what's your background, Jesse? What led you to social studies teacher and even in the James Madison Fellowship as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was actually planning on going to law school out of college. I'm from Elgin, Illinois.
All right.
Went to school pre-law major. While I was studying for my LSATs, I started working at the Boys and Girls Clubs in my hometown of Elgin, and it was really fun. It was a lot more fun than, like, the sort of the paralegal work that I was doing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I also met a girl.
Okay,
that's great. My wife. And so, you know, I was like, man, I think I like working with kids. And so I got into teaching. That was 9 years ago. I moved from Elgin to Milwaukee, in 2015. I took a teaching position and kind of never looked back. In terms of the fellowship though, my wife and I were talking and we were like, you know, I knew I wanted to get my master's degree just because I wanted to become more specialized and just understand my content a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And so figuring out how we were going to pay for that was a big deal. So I started looking online. And then I found the James Madison Fellowship, applied for it. Was awarded the fellowship in 2023.
Yeah.
And so I've been working on my graduate degree since then. Just came back this summer from Georgetown. We had a summer institute there, so pretty cool.
Very good. All right. So I know we have two kids. We have a 12-year-old and just turned 17-year-old, and they ask a lot of questions about the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard one to even explain to adults, right? So how do you use your background to explain the Electoral College to kids?
Yeah, so the Electoral College is very confusing. And so the way that I explain it is it's almost like a point system. There's 538 points that we want to get. Those points are based on the, you know, 435 representatives in the House, 100 senators in the Senate, and then also the three electoral votes that are Washington, D.C. And so basically our presidential candidates are not looking to get necessarily your popular vote. They are trying to win over those points, and those points are designated by the states. They essentially choose electors. And so Wisconsin, we have 10, you know, and so the Wisconsin's worth 10 points essentially.
So when your students ask you the question, mm-hmm. so I'm going to be able to vote at mm-hmm. some point. So my vote, how, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. What, how do you answer those questions?
Yeah, and so we just kind of say, you know, it's like a winner-take-all system, for okay. especially for Wisconsin, but not necessarily every state. But and we say, look, the founders, when they created this system, it was a compromise, right? Mm-hmm. There were some who were like, look, we're giving too much power to individual people. These people are easily manipulated. Perhaps they aren't going to be as educated. And so this was a compromise between those who were like, no, let's go fully democratic, and those who were like, we're going from a king, so maybe we don't move too quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it was a compromise, basically to maintain and make sure that the most elite states people were the ones who got elected. And so essentially that's how I explain the system. Okay. You know, it's a point system. It's kind of, you know, based on some historical, the founders kind mm-hmm. of understanding, you know, of where they thought the average citizen was mm-hmm. at that point. And so that's kind of where we are today. So
we're talking with Jesse Perez, civics teacher in the village of Shorewood. So Jesse, what can we as adults learn from high school kids today?
Wow. So I feel like I learn from them every day.
Yeah.
I think that high school students are incredibly resilient. They're super hardworking, but one of the biggest things, and this is something that I love the most about my high school students, is their curiosity. They are so willing to just, like, they just get excited about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so as adults, it's kind of a good reminder to still never let that sort of magic disappear,
yeah.
but sort of try to stay curious about things. If you really get interested in something, like, go into it, like, look for it, look into it. High school kids have no problem doing that because essentially that's what they're told to do every day.
Yeah.
And so it's a good reminder. I think it helps keep me young. And so I love it.
Who is your teaching role model?
Man, I have a lot. I would say I have a ton of role models just in Shorewood. Sarah mm-hmm. Coplin, who's one of my big mentors. Sam Coleman, who's been a mentor for me since I started teaching in Milwaukee. I also have an amazing social studies department at Shorewood High School. Our department chair, Evan Schmidt, Brian Schulteis, some great people. Nicole Megan, newer, Tom Sala. And also my principal, Mr. Kenny,
all right.
who's just a great role model. Our AP, Amanda Jamerson. And my wife, who's not a teacher, but she teaches me quite a bit on a daily basis. So,
all right, I'm going to have you stick around.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620 from the 920. First time voting? I turned 18 in August of 1972, texter says. It was inspired by my high school history teachers about civic duty. Probably, I think I voted for George McGovern. All right. I love to see it. Inspiration through the teachers that we interact with and grow with each and every day. So quick reminder, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles extended its hours at customer service centers today. They'll be open until 6 p.m. So if you need that photo ID, new to the state, whatever the reason is, the DOT open, the DMV open until 6 p.m. today. Let's do a voter check-in from Whitefish Bay. Chris Hayworth joins us on the phone. Chris, how's your day going so far?
Good morning, Jeff. It's going great.
Good, good. So just a quick little background. I pulled some numbers on voting in the village of Whitefish Bay. In 2016, total ballots cast, 8,303. In 2020, total votes cast, 9,947. How was your voting experience this morning?
No problems at all. Yeah. I went at approximately 8 o'clock. It was after most had dropped their kids off at school. So I was voter 93, and I vote at the village hall.
Okay.
So kind of a central location. I was in and out within 5 to 7 minutes.
Very good. No long lines, seemed pretty easy in, easy out. Like, I think that was our experience in the village of Shorewood this morning, too. It seems like a lot of people voted early, so there weren't a ton of long lines, at least first up.
No, I did talk to a poll worker. She said that before 8 o'clock, pretty much when the polls opened at 7, there was a line maybe of about 20, 30 people deep that extended back. But then by 8 o'clock when I showed up, I was one of maybe four people in line. And I have a feeling during the day, it'll still be light, and then lunch obviously picks up, and then after work hours, you know, after 4 or 5 o'clock is when it'll pick up again.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised that I was only voter number 93, and I was in and out in five to seven minutes.
Yeah. Did you take any kids with you? Did you see a lot of kids joining parents? Probably not, because it's about the start. Is Whitefish Bay in school today?
Yes, Whitefish Bay is
okay.
In school today.
Right.
The only people that I heard were bringing their kids were, you know, ones that had infants that had to bring them no matter what. So I don't think they were exactly sharing the Democratic experience with them per se. But yeah, I did not see any. But again, that could have been a product because of the schools being in session.
All right. I want to have you put on your marketing hat now. And you think, well, so you do a lot of work day to day in the outdoor and marketing space. You think we're going to see continued messaging post-election? Any campaigns or trends that you're seeing in terms of, all right, after the polls close, here's the messaging we'll see advertising-wise?
I think you'll see messaging throughout the day today. I think, however, it will pretty much end after today because there's no really way to vote post-election because even if you've mailed in your ballot and it hasn't arrived, there's nothing you can do advertising-wise to speed that process up.
Right.
So, no, I do think we'll see a lot of it end, and for a lot of people, we'll be very thankful that it ended after today, especially in the swing states like Wisconsin. So, no, I haven't noticed anything. You'll notice a few more yard signs up on Election Day. I think a lot of the campaigns will do some overnight, you know, guerrilla-type marketing.
Yeah.
And throw up yard signs within legal parameters near elections locations, but nothing large scale. I don't think you'll see any post-election messaging that doesn't come directly from the campaigns themselves in the form of press conferences.
Very good. All right. Checking in from the village of Whitefish Bay, Chris Hayworth, I appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of the day.
You bet, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. All right. When we come back, remembering that first time you voted, that very first election. We have a Marquette student who is casting her very first presidential ballot today. Hannah Frayne will join us and talk about her experience, how she went about the research, and we're not going to ask her who she voted for, but we want to walk through that process as a first-time voter. This is The Upswing. It's Election Day, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the Election Day show. I'm Jeff Sherman from the 414. I voted at 10 a.m. in Franklin. In and out, done in 10 minutes. Love to hear it. Love to hear it for sure. You remember your very first presidential election? As I said, mine voted in Wauwatosa. Was a student at Marquette, but was still living in the summer in Wauwatosa with my parents. So I'm like, all right, I'm going back to Tulsa to vote. So that was where I cast my first vote. All subsequent ones were in downtown Milwaukee. And, you know, there's such a sense of pride in voting when you're a college student. So we have Hannah Frayne, a junior from De Pere. She's a junior at Marquette University. Hannah's on the phone with us. Hannah, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So how'd your first time voting go this morning?
Honestly, I think everything went very smoothly. You know, I got to the polls right away when they opened at 7 this morning.
Okay.
And from there, I got registered, which really didn't take very long at all. That was really nice.
Okay.
Then I just got my ballot and voted. And the lines were pretty short, so I was honestly out of the building by 7:30. So very smooth process overall.
Anything that surprised you? I mean, other than just how obviously smooth and easy it was?
Honestly, I think that's the only thing that surprised me.
Okay.
I expected the lines to be a bit longer,
uh-huh.
So I was happy that things were kind of short and quick. Everyone working there was really helpful. If anyone had a question, someone always had an answer. So that was really nice. And everything was just explained very clearly. I thought things would be feeling a bit more complicated, but that was not the case. So that was definitely a relief.
So talk a little bit about your preparation for voting. As a first-time voter, if I may ask, you know, where do you get your news and campaign information? So you went into the voting booth knowing that, all right, I'm armed with all the right information.
Of course. So I usually try to get my news from a variety of sources. I think as a college student, the biggest place that I see all of my news would be on social media. But as we know, that's not always the most credible source. So I always want to back that up, usually with a news station, especially local, or a newsletter as well. So I usually try to subscribe to multiple different newsletters, such as Wall Street Journal. And as for news stations, I usually try and listen to a variety, you know, so that way I'm getting all the sides, so that way I'm able to understand who's going to be the best choice for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, like especially in terms of campaign information, I think Marquette did a great job with giving students updates on voter guides, how to vote early, and that was all through our daily newsletter, which is very non-biased as well.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that. And overall, I just try and get my news from a variety of sources, so I'm well-informed.
Yeah, the signage and wayfinding on college campuses. I drove through Marquette and UWM this morning. Really easy in and out. And you could, you know, you find your polling places in a really simple manner. And that's, you know, that's a credit to the universities to making it easy. So what's your career path? Are you interested in politics moving forward, or what are your post-graduation plans?
I'm very passionate about politics for sure. However, I don't think that'll be quite the career path for me. I am very interested in law as well. So I'm hoping to go to law school with a focus on intellectual property. That's something I'm really passionate about. Hopefully diving into kind of the deceptive advertising field and really making sure that I'm helping out the community in terms of that, because deceptive advertising, especially with the growth of artificial intelligence, is growing rapidly every single day. And there needs to be people who can help out and make sure that gets put to a stop.
That is beautiful. We need that help. So stay on that track, and we are here to assist you along the way. Appreciate you voting. Appreciate you taking time to call in this morning, Hannah. Enjoy the rest of the day and the rest of the week.
Thank you very much.
All right. No matter what you do today, tell your friends to vote. Go through your phone, pull all the contacts, send a quick text message, remind friends and family to vote. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The first polls will close at 5 p.m. on Tuesday Central Time in some states. The last at midnight Central on Tuesday in between. Obviously, there's going to be a steady stream of closings every 30 to 60 minutes, with voting ending in key presidential swing states between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central. A lot happening on Election Day, for sure. A lot happening in the classroom as well. So Jesse Perez has joined us for this hour here on The Upswing. Jesse's a social studies teacher in the Village of Shorewood. So, Jesse, as you're talking to your students the rest of the week, they're going to go home. I mean, they're off of school today, but they're going to be at home watching results with their parents, seeing maybe emotions get heightened here and there. How do you counsel families and students to take in the election results?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I, first off, recognize that a lot of people are sensitive based on which direction the election may swing. And so I encourage the students to just be respectful of that. You know, some people may be celebrating, some people may be crying, you know, at the end of today or tomorrow or this week. And so I always try to say students need to be, you know, sensitive to that. But I also encourage them to really unpack the, you know, results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does this look like moving forward? You know, it kind of reminds me of a letter that George H.W. Bush wrote to Bill Clinton, where he said, hey, look, we fought a tough race. You won. But now I'm wishing you the best. And so hopefully, you know, that smooth transition of power, regardless of who it is, happens.
Yeah.
Because that's really a reparative moment, not just for the two candidates, but also for our students and for all of their constituent, all of the constituents, right, for our entire nation to sort of be able to rebuild and move on. And so I encourage students to continue following. We continue talking about these things in civics class. And you know, regardless of what happens, we pick up, we go forward, and we, you know, we do the best, and we root for, you know, all of us. So
no matter what, continue to have conversations and connect and collaborate moving forward, because there's always going to be another game, right?
Exactly.
All right. Where we just asked first time voter Hannah where she got her information from a high school perspective. When your students come up to you and say, I'm getting all this information in my feed and TikTok and this and that, where do you say that they should turn to news? I mean, obviously, other than WTMJ and get the analysis that we provide each and every day. But what do you suggest to high school kids?
So a couple of things. I provide some sources in class, but for the most part, I want students to sort of develop that critical thinking skill of what is a good source. So one of the things that we utilize at Shorewood High School is something called the CRAAP test. So it's something that was kind of developed out of University of Chicago, which essentially says, is a source current? So that's a C. Is it relevant? Is it, does it have authority? Does it have, is it accurate? And then finally, what is the purpose of this source? Is it to sell something? Is it to persuade us? Is it to inform us? And so students essentially have to use that test to decide whether or not a source is relevant or not.
All right. Very good. Jesse Perez, social studies teacher in Shorewood. All the best for the rest of the week. Continue to teach our kids well. We appreciate all that you do. Polls are open today until 8 p.m. statewide. Polling place hours are same across the state of Wisconsin, no matter where you live. You need to be in line by 8 p.m. Once you're in line, you're going to have that opportunity to vote no matter what. Again, remind friends and family to get out and vote. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Let's do business headlines coming up next.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
A five-story, $55 million luxury apartment building is under construction in Kenosha. Completion of the new apartment building, called The Carrick, is expected in January 2026. Outdoor merchandise retailer Sierra is opening its Mequon location on November 16th. The new store will take over the former Bed Bath & Beyond space at the Mequon Pavilion Shopping Center. The Milwaukee Parks Foundation raises $530,000 in partnership with Molson Coors through the Cheers to Our Parks campaign. Funds will go to infrastructure needs throughout Milwaukee County Parks. I'm Logan Hansen for MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.